News Talk 720 KDWN is your 2012 election station. Now back to Jerry Doyle on News Talk 720 KDWN.
This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
So as we're speeding towards the fiscal cliff January 1st, where we potentially could lose 2 million jobs, with Congress, Democrats and Republicans alike, the co-drivers heading towards the cliff, recognizing that the cliff is coming, they say, oh, better stop here because we found a pothole. We need to fill in a $6 billion student loan pothole before we resume our Thelma and Louise crash course off the fiscal cliff. Joining us on the program to talk about the student loan situation and why are today's poor subsidizing tomorrow's rich, Dr. Veronique Desrougiers, she's a senior research fellow, Mercatus Center, George Mason University, columnist at Reason.com. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I sound very international when I say your name. I feel like I'm a lot smarter than I am. Veronique Desrougiers. I'm like, when I was over at, I'll give you a quick aside here. When I was over in Paris, you know, it's just, you just want to be able to speak the language because there's something very cool about French. And an American trying to speak French in Paris is, for me, a lesson in futility. But it's a beautiful country, an absolutely gorgeous city. And the language, I mean, you could tell me right now to take a flying hike, and I'd look forward to the trip. So how, let's get to your article about the whole student loan program, which was going to crater students by doubling the interest rate from 3.4 to 6.8%. And Republicans and Democrats alike, trying to buy votes, in my opinion, for November, said $6 billion, don't worry, we'll figure out how to pay for it later. But you say there's a much bigger cost to be paid later by the poor being subsidized by today's rich. How?
So one of the constant pattern that we find in industries where the government intervenes, whether it's education, healthcare, but pretty much everything else, is that it leads to an increase in the price, to an inflation in the price in that area. So in one of the things we know for sure is that it is government intervention and it is the government subsidy of a tuition, in a sense, through direct subsidies to schools, but also through student loan subsidy, that it has triggered the large increase in college tuition.
Sure. So you've seen bubbles in housing. You've seen bubbles in tech industries on Wall Street. And if the government makes cheap money available, people are going to seek out the cheap money. And if the money's funneled towards education, the cost of education is going to increase because the institutions are going to say, well, look at all the extra money that's available. So the cost of education is going to increase because the amount of money is there for it to increase.
And so what we know is the people who are mainly benefiting from these loans are not necessarily, I mean, are certainly not in priority poor kids from poor family. They are, and also we also know that people who go to college tend to have much larger income in the long term. So what you end up having is increase in tuition, which in effect excluded a lot of people at the bottom, and wealthier kids who end up going to college and then making higher salary in the future. So, and yet all of this is funded through what? Through our taxes. So you have a lot of people in America who haven't gone to college, whose kids will never be able to go to college, and yet their taxes go to pay for all these people who've gone to college and all these people whose kids are going to go to college and then rip off the fruits of better salary because of their higher education.
And it all sounds good when they introduce the College Cost Reduction and Access Act of 2007, which they did, but it's actually restricting access to lower income, poorer families, and it's not reducing the cost of college. So exactly. On face value, the legislation sounds good, but in reality, as you point out, in the latest issue of Reason, nothing could be further from the truth of what the title of the act is.
But you know what? Here's the thing. It's like, actually, it doesn't even sound good to me. I mean, I think that the student loan crisis is the most overrated crisis of all the crises we have. And God knows there are a lot of crises, overblown crises out there. First, like, you don't necessarily need a loan to go to college. There are many different ways to actually pay for your education. First, you can choose a college that's not with a gigantic tuition. I mean, when you look at the differences in salary earned in the long term, depending on which college you go to, whether it's expensive one, you know, first tier versus last tier one, there's barely any difference. So why go to a very expensive one? You can also pay for college. You can go part-time. You can actually, your parents may have saved money for you to go to college. So, I mean, it's not an obligation. Besides, when you actually look at the number of kids who end up leaving college with debt, it's actually not that many. And when you look at the amount of debt that they've accumulated on average, it's $25,000.
Right.
And it's
right.
Not that much. And if, in fact, you get higher salary, I mean, it's fine. You'll pay that.
That's an investment in your future. And you look at the unemployment rate for college graduates is about 4.5, 4.6%. So you're half of what the national average is, which means you've got a better opportunity to get a job when you get out of college to pay off that student loan. And outside of pandering to students of voting age, and families, parents of those students with this reduction from 6.8 to 3.4, I can't think of any other reason than it was done other than to buy votes in November.
Yes. I mean, it's both sides do it. And it's really, it's quite amazing. I mean, it's like, it's as if government wasn't there to subsidize these loans, no one would be going to college.
Well, you know, $25,000 average cost coming out of college doesn't seem to be. I don't know what the period is where you have to start paying. It's 9 months, a year. Maybe it's longer if you go on to continue your education, as you did, getting your PhD in economics from the University of Paris. But the term to pay this off over is quite a long period of time. And I don't know where we've lost that notion that, you know, someone else is supposed to be responsible for making an investment in your future, which, as we know, has a lot of benefits to you as far as higher earnings, lower unemployment rates. And 25 grand to me as an investment in someone's future doesn't seem to be a lot of money. But in this victimology kind of a world that we're living in today, it's like, oh, these poor kids that are coming out of school with $25,000 in college costs, God forbid they actually got a job and paid for some of college along the way themselves. When you're struggling through those Tuesday, Thursday grueling schedules where you might have three classes each day, I don't know how they survive.
No, I mean, I agree.
Well, what happens with this? If both the Republicans and the Democrats seem to want to take away the pain of an additional $6 a month for the average college student paying back these student loans or getting these loans, doesn't even affect people who have them now. When does any degree of fiscal sanity or responsibility show up? Is it supposed to happen November 7th? Is that when they decide, well, we can't do 3.4 anymore. Now it's going to have to be 6.8 because we've bought your vote. It doesn't seem like either of the two status quo political parties has any interest in doing the right thing for fear that they might lose their power.
Yeah, and again, I mean, what we see with the catering to students as an interest group or to their parents, I mean, we see everywhere else. I mean, have you looked at the recent farm bill? I mean, and of course, we know that the Republicans' message is, hey, you know, when we're in power, things are going to be better. But let's not forget that the reduction in rate happened in 2007 when Republicans, I mean, when we had a Republican president.
Right.
But again, it's one who said he had to, you know, to compromise his free market principle to save the free market. So
you mean when George Bush was president, you just seriously limited your ability to appear on Fox News, Dr. Ruger. You can't point out those kind of realities. That's just persona non grata, because there's enough blame to go around in both parties that are just merely, as before you came on the program I was talking about, are just in it to win it for themselves. And logic, reason, need not apply because it doesn't help them politically. And in a certain way, it doesn't help the college students by perpetuating this victim mentality or this entitlement mentality that they have in us doing anything to get this country back on track. And this supposed crisis, as you point out, which is a non-crisis, is just yet another opportunity to pander to people to try and buy their loyalty, i.e. get their vote so that they can do even what next time. And I guess the question is, Doctor, how do we stop rewarding if we've already been rewarding for something that's a fake crisis? Because what do they have to do next to top what it is they did before to pander to the next group?
I don't know. I mean, if anyone who has the answer to this question is going to be the next Nobel Prize winner. I mean, I just,
You got to be able to laugh about it because it really is. It's just crazy. This fiscal cliff that we're coming to on January 1st, whether it's the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, or whether it's the mandatory sequestration under the non-agreement agreement that the super committee couldn't agree on last year, we're looking at potentially 2 million jobs, increasing the unemployment rate by 1.5% to 9.7%, a $215 billion hit to GDP next year alone. That's not going to bode well for an economic recovery, but yet they don't seem to want to be able to introduce a little tough love or economic reality to people who are ultimately going to suffer, not benefit by the things that they're doing in the short term.
What's more interesting is just what you just said. I mean, it's when Republicans says things like this, say, oh, if you actually put in place the cuts in defense, then that many people will lose their job. They are basically making the argument, the reverse argument that the argument that the Democrats are making when they make the case that we shouldn't cut spending.
Right. So the Democrats don't want to cut entitlements because that's going to cut jobs. The Republicans don't want to cut military spending because that's going to cost jobs to be lost. But in reality, what's happening behind the scenes are the true talks that are taking place where Republicans are talking about the cuts that need to be made or the taxes that need to be increased. And the Democrats knowing that entitlements have to be cut, but they don't want to have that conversation in public until after the election, because even though people know what they're doing isn't right, somehow they think that this can all be, presto whammo, magically solved between November 7th and January 1st. And we know that's not going to happen either.
No, I totally agree with you. And this is the problem we have. We can't, neither party is committed to actually cutting spending.
And where does this end up? I mean, that's the ultimately the question. Some sooner or later, the day of reckoning comes. And I guess kicking the can down the road, as long as we can have a jobs program where they can keep extending the road, then they'll have more road to kick the can down. But the reality is that we are heading towards a fiscal cliff. And people say, oh, you'll never end up like Portugal. You'll never end up like Spain. You'll never end up like Ireland or Iceland. Yeah, we will, because we're well on our way. But supposedly, they're all going to be able to orchestrate this soft landing that they say they're capable of doing, but they don't want to get around to doing. It's rather frustrating. It's also kind of entertaining in a very kind of twisted way. Doctor, appreciate your time. Dr. Veronique de Rouget, Senior Research Fellow, Mercatus Center, George Mason University, columnist at Reason.com. Go to her latest issue of Reason on the student loan scam, Why Are Today's Poor Subsidizing Tomorrow's Rich? She will also be on the Reason Alaska Cruise, August 11th through the 18th. That's ReasonCruise.com for information on that. And also Reason.com, the website, but where she writes a lot of good stuff. Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do it again. Stick with us. We'll be right back.